I want to read you quite a little out of the third chapter of Helaman here. And as we, I'm going to start with the second verse here. Nephi had been up to the people in the north and had preached to them and had been unable to do any great work, and we'll read on here and find out what happens. And they did reject his words, insomuch that he could not stay among them, but he returned again unto the land of his nativity. Here this man had came home. He had been out preaching and unable to accomplish anything. And we can see, we'll see in the next few verses that his joy wasn't very great. And seeing the people in a state of such awful wickedness, and those Gideonthan robbers filled the judgment seats, having usurped the power and authority of the land, laying aside the commandments of God, and not the least aright before him, doing no justice unto the children of men, condemning the righteous because of their righteousness, and letting the guilty and the wicked go unpunished because of their money. And I think that we can read this and we can see that these very things have happened. Not many months passed, we heard of quite a scandal in the, I guess you'd call it, the financial world, when one of the great brokers, and I think it was the one that said that they earned their money. They made their money the old-fashioned way. They earned it. And if we will recall that story, just a little bit of it, and I surely do not understand how they done it, but they took money and put it in different banks and kept moving it around, millions upon tens of millions of dollars, drawing interest on all of it and not really having any. Yet when they were caught red-handed, they were given a fine and a few people scolded. I don't believe anybody went to the penitentiary. Maybe fined a few million dollars and they'd probably made 200 million. So in a way, these people, even today, are doing the same thing that happened back here 23 years before Christ. But it's strange. Things go round and round. They keep repeating themselves. And people don't seem to have the good judgment to seek after that which is right. And moreover, to be held in office at the head of government to rule and do according to their wills, that they might get gain and glory of the world, and moreover, that they might more easily commit adultery and steal and kill and do according to their own wills. And we know that we can see this type of thing continuing on. They are able to accomplish about anything they want to. We look throughout the world at the crimes. We look at the crimes that are committed in Panama and some of those South American countries, and literally no one can do anything about it. Now, this great iniquity had come upon the Nephites in the space of not many years. They'd been a kind of a righteous people, and then they turned away. And when Nephi saw it, his heart was swollen with sorrow within his breast. And I think that we have some sorrow for what's going on around about us today, but it seems that we can't do a whole lot about it. And he did exclaim in the agony of his soul, "Oh, that I could have had my days in the days when my father Nephi first came out of the land of Jerusalem, and that I could have joyed with him in the promised land, Have we ever said that? Oh, I wish we could have lived a few years ago. I think probably if Paul and some of the old ministry, and maybe John the Baptist, if they could have lived today, they would have liked it, because they thought would think of how much they could accomplish. But here he was looking back and wished he had lived in a previous time. Then were the people easy to be entreated, firm to keep the commandments of God, and slow to be led into do iniquity, and they were quick to hearken unto the words of the Lord. And I kind of think of this, maybe I can look back a little ways too, and I think the good many of us here, especially of Marvin's and Harvey and Alvina's and Alice's days, we can look back and we can remember that if a minister came into a community, he could probably use the schoolhouse and he would probably get an audience. There'd be people come and listen to him. I'm sure if we tried that today, and if we run ads in the paper, we'd be lucky if we had 10 people. I don't know, but I can remember those days up at Cameo in that old schoolhouse, and I've got no idea how many people turned out, but there was a good many of them. And I remember when Brother James E. Yates came here and he preached down in the schoolhouse down here. There wasn't a lot of people, but I expect there was a dozen and a half, maybe two dozen people showed up. But there was a few people came to hear what he had to say. And we didn't have much of a way to get the word around. But I doubt that you could do that today. Yea, if my days could have been in those days, then would my soul have had joy in the righteousness of my brethren. And it would be good to have that righteousness around us. It'd be good to be able to turn to those things again in many ways. But behold, I am consigned that these are my days. And that's the same as we are today. We're consigned to these days. And that my soul shall be filled with sorrow because of these, the wickedness of my brethren. He was very sorry because of this. Behold, now it came to pass that it came to pass that it was upon a tower which was in the garden of Nephi, which was by the highway which led to the chief market, which was in the city of Zarahemla. Therefore Nephi had bowed himself upon the tower which was in the garden, which tower was also near unto the gate, to the garden gate which led by the highway. And it came to pass, there were certain men passing by and saw Nephi as he was pouring out his soul unto God upon the tower. And they ran and told people what they had seen. And the people came together in multitudes, that they might know the cause of so great a mourning for the wickedness of the people. Now, apparently he was able to get an audience here on that. They kind of got curious, and I'm going to see what this fellow's doing. And now, when Nephi arose, he beheld the multitude of people who had gathered together. And it came to pass that he opened his mouth and said unto them, behold, why have you gathered yourselves together, that I may tell you of your iniquities? We know that wasn't why they gathered themselves together, but he asked them this question. Yea, because I have got upon my tower, that I might pour out my soul unto God, because of the exceeding sorrow of my heart, which is because of your iniquities. And I believe he is a pretty forceful speaker, and he must have come down on them pretty good here. And because of my mourning and lamentations, ye have gathered yourselves together and do marvel. Yea, ye have great need to marvel. Now he's going to really tell him some things here. And I think that we can really relate to these very things today the same as he did at that time. And ye ought to marvel, because ye are given away to that devil, to the devil has got hold, so great a hold upon your hearts, yea, how could ye have given away to the enticings of him who is seeking to hurl away your soul down to an everlasting and endless woe? I wonder if we got out and preached this today, how could you people do these things? And this is going to be your state. You're going to be cast down, and you're going to be in those everlasting chains. I wonder how popular we would be. But we know this very thing will happen if we don't keep the commandments. Oh, repent ye, repent ye. Why will ye die? Turn ye unto the Lord your God. Why has he forsaken you? It is because ye have hardened your hearts. People have become hard. Then, and they have done the same thing today, yea, ye will not hearken unto the voice of the good shepherd. Yea, ye have provoked him to anger against you. Now that's pretty serious. And see, they have provoked the Lord to anger against them. And behold, instead of gathering you, except ye'll repent, behold, he shall scatter you forth, that ye shall become meat for the dogs and wild beasts. Again, not a very pleasant thing. Oh, how could you have forgotten your God in the day that he had delivered you? They had had so many blessings, and here they had turned away again. But behold, it is to get gain, greediness, and all of these things, to be praised of men. And how often we see that today. People do a lot of things to be praised of men. Yea, and that ye might get gold and silver, and ye have set your hearts upon the riches and vain things of the world, for which ye do murder and plunder and steal and bear false witness against your neighbor and do all manner of iniquity. And for this cause woe shall come upon you except ye repent. Always that way out if they are willing to accept it. For if ye will not repent, behold this great city and also those great cities which are round about, which are in the land of our possession, shall be taken away, and ye shall have no place in them. For behold, the Lord will not grant unto you strength, as he has hitherto done, to withstand against your enemies. And if we look 20, well, I guess it was about 200 and some years later than this, but it's 400 and some years later, they was in a terrible disarray. But just 20, about, well, it says 20 to 23 B.C., but we know about 50 years later than this was the time that they had this days of darkness here when Christ was crucified and their cities was destroyed. And only the more righteous of them were saved. And people look back on this and say, well, that was yesteryear. Now, I don't know what's going to happen in the future. I can't really say. But I'll assure you that the Lord shall win. And those that are not in his camp are not going to be too happy. For behold, thus saith the Lord, I will not show unto the wicked of my strength to one more than the other, save it be unto those who repent of their sins and hearken unto my words. Now therefore I would that ye should behold, my brethren, that it shall be better for the Lamanites than for you, except that ye shall repent. For behold, they are more righteous than you, for they have not sinned against so great a knowledge which ye have received. Now those people were being pretty severely chastened here, or reprimanded, I should say. For they had turned away from a good knowledge and had become less righteous than the people they considered to be unrighteous. Therefore the Lord will be merciful unto them, Yea, he will lengthen out their days and increase their seed, even when thou shalt be utterly destroyed, except ye shall repent. Yea, woe be unto you because of this, of that great abomination which has come among you, and ye have united yourselves unto it, the Gideonton robbers, illegal acts, all of this, they had joined in with it. They joined themselves unto it, yea, to that secret band which was established by the Gideon, by Gideonton. Yea, woe shall come unto you because of the pride which ye have suffered to enter into your hearts, which has lifted you up beyond that which is good, because of your exceeding great riches. Yea, woe be unto you because of your wickedness and abominations. And except ye repent, ye shall perish. Yea, even your lands shall be taken from you, and ye shall be destroyed from off the face of the earth. I imagine that was pretty hard on them. But I want to turn over here and read a little more. You know, this is strange. This isn't the only time that these things happen. It seems, well, we could go through the Book of Mormon and through the Bible and find numerous places like this. I want to read some out of Ether, but I think first, before I read this out of Ether, I'm going to go back here and read some out of 2 Nephi and the 12th chapter. This 12th chapter has an awful lot in it. I know most of us use this chapter quite a bit. I want to read, I'm going to start with the third verse here, and again, I think that probably one or two of the ministry have used this in the last 4 or 5 weeks, but I think of how true it is of what these verses say. I'll begin with the third verse in the 12th chapter of 2 Nephi. For it shall come to pass in that day that the churches which are built up and not unto the Lord, when the one shall say unto the other, Behold, I am the Lord's, and the other shall say, I am the Lord's. And thus everyone say that, and thus shall everyone say that have built up churches and not unto the Lord. And they shall contend one with another, and their priests shall contend one with another, and they shall teach with their learning, and deny the Holy Ghost, which giveth utterance. And we know a good many wars throughout history has been religious wars. Now it's kind of hard to believe that religious factions would war against each other. Of course, we know what's happening in Ireland every day. Those people could coexist over there if they wanted to. They might not agree with each other on religious matters, but they surely could exist together if they had a little brotherly love in their heart. But they don't seem to do that. And not only there, we can go back to the different wars, probably 1,000 years ago, maybe more, and there was a lot of what they call holy wars. But the people denied the power of the Holy Ghost and even its existence. And they didn't deny the power of God, the Holy One of Israel. And they say unto the people, Hearken unto us and hear our precepts. And a lot of people want you to do this because they don't want you to know too much. They want you to hear what they're telling them. For behold, there is no God today, for the Lord and the Redeemer hath done his work, and he hath given his power unto men. Now, there's some churches here today in town that will tell you that. It's been turned over to men. But if we go there into Hebrews, it tells us that he's the same yesterday, today, and forever. And I think that if he'd done it 2,000 years ago, 1,200 years ago, or 3,000 years ago, and he had power to do these things, I think it's still here. Behold, hearken ye unto my precept. If they shall say, there is a miracle wrought by the hand of the Lord, believe it not. For this day is not a, for this day he is not a God of miracles. He hath done his work. And I wonder if they go over there to Amos, we'll find that he says that he'll do nothing except that he make known his secrets unto his prophets. And I think that he's going to do that same thing today. That when the time comes, he'll let us know what we need to know. And we have our gospel here to study and search. But I'm sure that he's going to be there to help us. Yea, and there shall be many which shall say, eat, drink, and be merry, for tomorrow we die. And if it shall be well with us, and we know this type of thing exists, it's surprising how many people go to church on Sunday, couples that are not married, and live together. It's amazing how many people think nothing of buying and drinking alcoholic beverages, smoking cigarettes, and still profess to go to church and to be righteous. And there shall also be many which shall say, eat, drink, and be merry. Nevertheless, fear God. He will justify committing a little sin. Yea, lie a little, take advantage of one because of his words. Dig a pit for thy neighbor. There is no harm in this. And do all these things, for tomorrow we die. And if it so be that we are guilty, God will beat us with a few stripes. And at last we shall be saved in the kingdom of God. Now we could stop right there, and some people say, well, that's about right. I think that's what's going to happen. Yea, and there shall be many which shall teach after this manner false and vain and foolish doctrines, and shall be puffed up in their hearts, and shall seek deep to hide their counsels from the Lord. I wonder how the people figure they're going to do that. Do you suppose they think they can go to Denver and pull some of these things off and they won't be noticed? Or to Salt Lake or Phoenix, or in an airplane or in a cave? The Lord sees all. He knows what's happening. And he is going to do as he told them that he would do, that he would punish them if they didn't keep his commandments. They're going to really seek hard to hide these counsels from the Lord. And their work shall be in the dark. We know that's happening today, even in religious factions. And the blood of the saints shall cry from the ground against them. I can hardly believe that people, especially that know the gospel, can fall into this type of entrapment. But they listen to men. And many of them watch some of the ministry they see that are driving fine automobiles and able to live a pretty good life. And they think this is what it's all about. You've got to be able to do these things. They don't realize that you've got to be honest and sincere and true and keep the commandments. I'm going to read a few of these verses out of the ether over here. And it's going to tell about the same as I read in Helaman. I'm going to read out of the on page 717 out of the first chapter, beginning with the 31st verse. And here this was, it shows between 2000 and 2200 B.C., a long time prior to the one I read about in Helaman, and a long time before our time. But I think they all pretty well fit, and and they are true. And now we can behold the decrees of God concerning this land, that is a land of promise, and whatsoever nation shall possess it shall serve God, or they shall be swept off when the fullness of his wrath shall come upon them. Now we know this happened to the Jaredites, literally destroyed themselves. We know that the Nephites literally destroyed themselves. And here we're living on that same continent, and we look about and look at the corruption that is around. The further south we go, many times, the more corrupt the governments become. And I don't know how long the Lord would tolerate this type of thing. And the fullness of his wrath cometh upon them when they are ripened in iniquity. For behold, this is the land which is choice above all other lands. Wherefore, he that doth possess it shall serve God, or shall be swept off, for it is an everlasting decree of God. So where we stand in a thing like this today, I have no idea. But I'm sure there's many countries that are becoming very corrupt. And what's going to happen to them, we'll have to wait and see. I suppose that the time will come that he will do something. We know that many of them have great problems now because of their wickedness. And it's progressively getting worse. And is not until the fullness of their iniquity among the children of the land that they are swept off. And this cometh unto you, O ye Gentiles, that ye may know the decrees of God, that ye may repent and not continue in your iniquities until the fullness is come, that ye may not bring down the fullness of the wrath of God upon you, as the inhabitants of this land has hitherto done. Behold, this is a choice land, and whatsoever nation shall possess it shall be free from bondage and from captivity and from all other nations under the heaven, if they will but serve the God of the land, who is Jesus Christ, whom hath been manifested by the things which we have written. We have great promises to us here, but we have also got to seek the Lord often and keep those commandments. But here it tells of, we know of two groups that was destroyed, and we know many times in here where the people were virtually destroyed or their armies were destroyed when they were unrighteous. Then they turned to the Lord, he would forgive them, and they could be prosperous again and have joy and peace. I want to read a few verses here out of Ephesians. And this is near where we were reading today in our Sunday school. And I think of how great a story is in this third, fourth, fifth, and sixth chapters of Ephesians. They're, again, very, very powerful chapters. And this tells of a few things, and the people have not heeded them. I'm going to start reading here. I think I'll read the first three verses here to begin with. I therefore, the prisoner of the Lord, beseech you that you walk worthy of the vocation wherein you're called. We're all called to be his people, aren't we? And we've got to walk to where we're worthy of those blessings that he's promised and so on. With all lowliness and meekness and long-suffering, forbearing one another in love. You've got to be pretty kind, haven't you, and gentle and good. Endeavoring to keep the unity of the Spirit in the bond of peace. Pretty good verses there, and pretty powerful. I want to go back over here and read a few verses out of Matthew, and this is some of the verses I like to touch upon. It's in the 28th chapter of Matthew. First, I'm going to read the one in the 11th chapter. And most of us know what that 11th chapter is. One of the very most popular things in the 11th chapter, anyway. Here in the 28th verse, a promise to everyone. Come unto me, all ye that labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. A pretty good promise, isn't it? It's too bad those people at the time the Nephi spoke to them couldn't have read this and know that there was some peace. I'm sure at that time that corruption had to make a lots and lots and lots of people unhappy. As any time there's corruption around. Because any time you see that type of corruption, there's going to be discontent among people, among families, and among countries. And we know this happened there in the time of Helaman, and many other times they were totally discontent. They might have been wealthy, they might have had a lot of things they thought going for them, but they didn't have peace and they didn't have contentment. It says here, come unto me, all ye labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. And I think what this rest means is that you're going to have joy and peace and love and long-suffering and all of those good things. Take my yoke upon you and learn of me, for I am meek and lowly in heart, and ye shall find rest unto your souls. For my yoke is easy and my burden is light. We know there's going to be trials, but if we have kept those commandments, we know full well who's going to stand beside us and help us over the bad places. And we know what a yoke is. It's something that keeps things in line and in order, and it allows a team of oxen to do a job and to accomplish a work. And if we take his yoke upon us, who do you think is on the other side? Now I want to read a few of these verses out of the last few verses in the 28th chapter of Matthew. And Jesus came and spake unto to them, saying, all power is given unto me in heaven and in earth. Go ye therefore and teach all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and the Son and the Holy Ghost. When we read these verses here, it tells an awful lot of the principles of the gospel. It tells who you're to baptize them in the name of, that they are to be baptized. And it mentions the Holy Ghost here. All these great things. Teaching them to observe all things whatsoever I have commanded you. And lo, I am with you always, even unto the end of the world. So we've got a promise there that he's going to be right with us. Now I want to read a few verses out of the 12th chapter again of Nephi, 2nd Nephi. I'm going to read 19, 20, and 21, and then I'll skip over for a few other verses. Woe unto them that turn aside the just for a thing of naught, and revile against that which is good, and say it is no worth. We surely see that happening today. They surely haven't sought out that yoke to get the help that they need. They haven't become humble and meek. There is people that fight against everything that is good because it is profitable unto them. For the day shall come that the Lord God will speedily visit the inhabitants of the earth, and in that day that they are fully ripe in iniquity, they shall perish. That's yet to come, that part of it, I believe. We know that there's been times when groups of people have been destroyed, and we know that the Jaredites was utterly destroyed off this land, and we know that the Nephites were destroyed. However, the other people were able to survive. But this time, when this they're talking about here, I believe it'll be another time, and it'll be the time of the end. But behold, if the inhabitants of the earth shall repent of their wickedness and abominations, they shall not be destroyed, saith the Lord of hosts. And that's a promise, and we don't have to back up from that a bit, because we know that's the truth. And over in, well, maybe let's continue on here. For the kingdom of the devil must shake, and they which belong to it must needs be stirred up unto repentance. For the devil will grasp him in their everlasting chains, and they be stirred up to anger and perish. Notice what is he going to do? He's going to get the people stirred up to anger and perish. He's not concerned for their welfare. For behold, at that day shall he rage in the hearts of the children of men and stir them up to anger against that which is good. And others will he pacify and lull them away into a carnal security, and they will say, all is well in Zion, yea, Zion prospereth. All is well. But we know that isn't the case. And thus the devil cheateth their souls and leadeth them away carefully down to hell. Now he's preaching to these people and telling them this pretty powerful sermon. It should really stir the people up. And behold, others he flatteth away and telleth them that there is no hell. And he saith unto them, I am no devil, for there is none. He'll tell them there's no God either, see. And thus he whispereth in their ears until he grasps them with his awful chains, from whence there is no deliverance. They are grasped with death and hell, and death and hell, and the devil, and all that have been seized therewith must stand before the throne of God and be judged according to their works, from whence they must go into the place prepared for them, even to a lake, even a lake of fire and brimstone, which is endless torment. Therefore, woe be unto him that is at ease in Zion. Now, wherever we're at, we can't not be at ease. We've got to kind of be pulling all the time, or else we can fall into this entrapment that Satan lays for us. Woe be unto him that crieth, all is well, yea, woe be unto him that hearkeneth unto the precepts of man, and denieth the power of God. that giveth, and the gift of the Holy Ghost. Yea, woe be unto him that saith, we have received, and we need no more. And how often have we heard this? And we know that there has got to be more given at this time and to the world before it is complete. And in fine, woe unto all those who tremble and are angry because of the truth of God. Do we see that today? There's people that are actually angry because of the truth. They can't stand it. For behold, he is built upon a he that is built upon a rock receiveth it with gladness, but he that is built upon a sandy foundation trembleth, lest he shall fall. Kind of a frightening thing. Here in the 36th verse says, behold, thus saith the Lord, I will give unto the children of men line upon line, precept upon precept, here a little and there a little. And blessed are those that hearken unto the precepts, unto my precepts, and lend an ear to my counsel, for they shall learn wisdom. For unto him that receiveth I will give the more, and for them that shall say, we have enough, shall be taken away even that which they have. Kind of a distressing thing, isn't it? I want to go back over to the Ephesians for about a few verses here. In the 6th chapter, I believe I'll begin with the 10th verse here. And all of this is good, this whole chapter, but I'll just read a few verses here, I think 10 through 16. Finally, my brethren, be strong in the Lord and in the power of his might. Put on the whole armor of God, that ye may be able to stand against the wiles of the devil. For we wrestle not against flesh and blood, but against principalities, against powers, against rulers of the darkness of this world, against spiritual wickedness in high places. And we surely see that today. Whether it is in the Christian world or whether it's in some other religion, we see wickedness in high places, spiritual wickedness. Wherefore, take unto you the whole armor of God, that ye may be able to withstand in the evil day, and having done all, to stand. Stand therefore, having your loins girt about with truth, and having the breastplate of righteousness, and your feet shod with the preparation of the gospel of peace. Above all, taking the shield of faith, wherewith ye shall be able to quench the fiery darts of the wicked. If we are strong, we're going to be able to withstand those things. If we keep the commandments, we know who's going to be with us. Nephi knew who he needed to turn to. He sought him often, and he told the people of it. We know that there's bound to be a few people listen. And we know times in this Book of Mormon that they converted whole groups. And we know it'll be done again someday. But it's difficult to look around us and see the corruption and not really be able to go out and accomplish that which we'd like to do. But we do know that we can have the peace of the Lord to be with us if we've kept the commandments.
Wednesday evening at 7 o'clock, we have scripture study. Turn to number 28 for closing. 28. Shall we stand?
Father, bless thy word to all.
Worship according to the desires of our hearts. We thank thee for the assurances we receive from thy word, for the evidence that thou hast caused to be kept for us, and the knowledge that others have had difficult and frustrating times and have not abandoned their faith. We pray that thou would help us that we might stand firm in those things that are precious to our souls, and that we might have great joy in them and be means of bringing others unto thee. We ask it in Jesus' name. Amen. Mm-hmm.